some 2,000 years ago, God sent his sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself, hung there in our shame. He was spotless and so pure, oh, the Lamb of God for sure. For he took me as I was, oh, praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, for he took me as I was, oh, praise his name.
Seven years late to activate Ruth, mute your phone when you're not speaking, okay? All right.
Comstock Park, Michigan.
All right. How you doing?
Good.
Okay. What you got in the way of prayer requests, prayer praises for us?
I want to hear Doug preach tonight.
He's going to be doing that. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, our station finally, they got the people that run the thing, allowed us to get it in tonight. So we are praising the Lord for that. That's one big prayer praise tonight, but that's not the one I'm going to be sharing. But what else you got for us, guy?
That's it.
Okay. Any other prayer requests for you?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep you in prayer anyway. All right. Well, Six, your turn.
Well, first off, good evening, everybody. Welcome. Happy holidays. How's everyone?
Doing awesome.
All right. And Ruth, I think he needs a refill for those who called 424-243-9617, Station 1.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm thinking of Station
Amen.
2.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
We just shout the glory down tonight, amen.
That's what it is.
Amen.
All right.
I hope everybody had a beautiful Christmas. Can't have Christmas without Christ. So
that's right.
Happy holidays from the Six Eyes Radio Network. As prayer request goes, always praying for the world. Mom and Dad always said, put others first, and then you. So just praying for all the crazy ills of the world, for the Lord to reset, recharge, and just renew us all. And just praying for a continued rest of 2024 and a very prosperous 2025. Love you all. With that, I'm complete.
Love you, too. Everybody else, too.
Amen. All right. Now, Ruthie, your turn.
Oh, I'm just praying for myself. I've got some unusual problem. What happened when my doctor gave me a new medicine? And it made me really, my heart went out of control. I had some other symptoms that were very weird. And then I just, a few days of dizziness, and I had it. I says, I've had it. I took my regular old medicine. I'm getting back on track, but I can tell my sugar's still out of control. So the Lord, he's got mail, and I know he'll handle it.
Okay, you complete, Ruth?
Yeah.
All right, well, now we'll go to Mrs. Quick, then Brother Quick.
What's up, girl?
Well, I have to give a praise report because we are on tonight. It's been about a month, I think, that we weren't on. And, I know my big brother looking forward to hearing him each time, and I could tell his voice that he was disappointed when it wasn't on. And so praise the Lord, he's on and we're on, and that's much of a blessing. And continue to pray for our three unspoken, and that's going to be complete for me.
Okay, Brother Quick, what do you got for us?
Listen, I got a whole bunch for you. That first phone number that you gave out, I looked at Miss Quick and I said, what in the world is going on with him? And Brother Fixman get it straightened around. And I said, somebody finally got it straightened around. Amen.
Yeah.
We're just looking forward to being able to preach the Word of God tonight. And it's always good to be back on Six Radio Network. It's always good to hear Brother Fixman's voice. It's always good to hear Brother Ken. It's always good to hear Brother Ruth, Sister Ruth, excuse me. I didn't mean to say Sister Ruth, you're going to have to forgive me for that now.
Hey, that's okay. Love you.
I'm hung out with all these brothers, and then all of a sudden a sister jumps in there, and I just, all of a sudden just called you as brother. So anyhow, we're looking forward to being able to preach the Word of God and see what we can muster up as far as, you know, there's different church services that we're able to attend, you know, when I'm not preaching. And this one in particular, there's a lady that comes up to me, and she all the time look at me, and she would say, "Well, Mr. Trouble's here." And I said, "What do you mean, trouble?" She says, "I mean trouble. You're trouble. That's all there is to that. You're just trouble." And she'll never tell me what the trouble is, but she's all the time calling me trouble. But at least she's got a smile on her face when she's calling me trouble, so I guess that kind of helps to smooth it over a little bit. But I'm not a troublemaker, I don't think, unless I can preach the Word of God and trouble the devil, and that's what I hope to be able to do tonight, is just trouble the devil good and proper. I'm going to be submitted all night unto the Lord my God, which means the devil can't get close to me because, you know, James chapter 4, verse number 7 says these words, "Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And when the Word of God says resist the devil, it doesn't mean that I'm supposed to stand up and say, "Okay, devil, I'm just letting you know right now that no. When we resist the devil, the resistance to the devil is the fact of our submission unto the Lord. And we submit ourselves unto the Lord our God. And the devil ain't going to have no time. He won't be able to hang around because he can't stay in a place like that. And we have proven that, Miss Quick and I have proven that time and time again through the years. And so we're just really glad to always let the Lord know that we're very happy and very glad to be submitted unto him. And because we're submitted unto him, the devil ain't got a chance to do anything tonight against us because we are submitted unto our God. And that's what the Word of God teaches. Amen.
Well, amen.
Brother Ken, if you just straighten around now, I'll be able to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
He was wound out. My wife looked at me and she says, "Boy, what's the matter with him? He's all wound up tight tonight." I said, "Don't ask me about it because it's not me. It's Ken that you're talking about." And Ken was just wound up tight. And I'm glad that Ken was wound up tight because that means that he's been doing some things that God has been pleased with. Amen. And so tonight what I want to do was I spent a lot of time with the Lord in the office because when I preach the Word of God, it cannot be something that I think is right. It has to be something that the Spirit of God says, that's it. And so before Christmas came around, I was in the office and I said, "Lord, honestly, I don't know what it is that you'd have me to preach this Lord's Day. We're right close to Christmas time and I don't know what you'd have me to preach." And I learned years and years ago that when I got a problem like that, I go to the Lord and I tell the Lord about my problem, and then I just shut up and listen. And so I just shut up and I listen. And the Spirit of God says, go in your dad's notes, and it won't take long. You'll find something that he preached on Sunday in a year. And I said, "Well, I think I can just see what I can find it." And it didn't take very long before I found an outline that my daddy had preached, and he preached it on Christmas Day, December the 25th. You see, December the 25th is not a day that we're just supposed to go and spend some time with our family. December the 25th, when it comes on the Lord's Day, that's the time for us to be in the Lord's house and get preached to. Amen. And my daddy believed that. And my wife and I we had just left on our honeymoon because we had gotten married in October that same year. And so I didn't hear that message. But I know that what he preached that day was a good, strong message. And so I went into his notes, and when I got into the passage of scripture that my daddy used, I opened up one of my study Bibles, and I've got notes that I have come up with on different things in these verses of scripture, and I'm going to share them with everyone that will listen tonight. So Luke chapter 2, if you would please, just turn over to the Gospel of Luke and chapter number 2. And my daddy preached this message, and he named it Good News. Good News. And this is good news, I'm telling you. We're going to find some men that were not planning on this, but they found that it was good news also. And I'm going to read, we're going to find right here in the Word of God, and I'm going to read about it. But here in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. You see, taxing is not anything new. This happened back before Jesus was born. Caesar Augustus said that all the world was going to be taxed. And in verse number 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he went there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was so, and so it was in verse number 6, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to stop right there. I'm going to ask the Lord to bless this message tonight. And then I'll go a little bit further as I preach in just a few moments. Our Father, I'm asking now that you be here to minister unto me and minister through me and listen and help those that are listening to have a listening heart as well as a listening ear and help them to understand. This message maybe was preached December the 25th of 1966, but this message still preaches yet to this day. And Lord, I would just plead with you that you would allow for me to preach this with the power of your Spirit upon me. And speak to hearts, Lord. That's all I can ask you to do. Speak to hearts. And for those, that sinner that's closest to hell tonight, I would plead with you that you just put conviction in his heart and help him to understand he can be included in this also because he's a sinner. And every sinner that comes before you and lets you know that they are a sinner and they repent as a sinner and then plead with you for Jesus to come and save their soul, you'll do that very thing. And I expect that that's what's going to happen this night. So just be with us now in a very special way and help us, and we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, there's some notes that I made on these different verses. I couldn't even tell you how many years ago. But you see, David went up. And he's from the city of Bethlehem, coming from the city of Bethlehem. The city of Bethlehem means literally house of bread. That's exactly what Bethlehem means. And then Mary is to give birth to her firstborn son, and then she's going to lay him in a manger. And that manger is a feeding trough. That's exactly what a manger was in the days of Jesus' birth. It was a feeding trough. And then she's going to bring forth her firstborn son. Her firstborn son is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself said in John chapter 6 and verse number 35, Jesus himself said he was the bread of life. And so here we have David growing up, coming from the house of bread, and the bread of life is fixing to be born, and he's going to be born in a feeding trough. Isn't that amazing? The names of these places, they just really jump with real meaning. And so the real meaning of Christmas is what I want to talk to you about for just a few moments tonight. You see, there's shepherds that we're going to be looking at. Verse number 8, and they're in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, these shepherds didn't expect anything exciting to happen that night. They just didn't. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were just taking their time watching over their sheep in the night, keeping the wolves away from their sheep in the night. That's exactly what they're doing. And they didn't expect anything besides that. But look at verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Just suppose you had been one of these shepherds. Just suppose you had been there watching your sheep. Just suppose you had been here when the angel of the Lord showed up. Just bam, all of a sudden, everything is lit up bright. And the angel of the Lord shows up. And the angel of the Lord does more than just show up. He speaks up. Look back at verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse number 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not. Whoa. Hello. Fear not. The very first words of God to these shepherds. Fear not. You see, God had to take and do something about their fear before he could say anything to them and get through to them. I'm here to tell you, these shepherds were here. They were herding their sheep as normal, as usual, not expecting anything different to happen. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord shows up in verse number 9. So what would you do, ladies and gentlemen? If you'd been there, what would you do? Hello? Don't look down at your feet. What would you do? You'd have been sore afraid right along with them, wouldn't you? All of us would have been. Because nobody there, none of these shepherds, was expecting anything like this to take place. They were sitting there watching their sheep, lulling their sheep, and they're probably just moaning to their sheep, and speaking to the sheep a little bit. Shepherds do that. Amen. But you see, they didn't expect the angel of the Lord to show up. Hello. And then when the angel of the Lord showed up and all of the glory of God lit up around them, and then verse number 10, the angel of the Lord speaks up. He says, fear not. Ooh. Fear not. That's the very first thing the angel of the Lord's got to do. He's got to take care of the fear before he can do anything else. And that's exactly what he does here. He disposes their fear. He gave them something in place of their fear. Verse number 10. He said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Ooh, wow. Wouldn't that have been something? For you and me to have been herding our sheep like these men were. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord show up, and all of the sky light up bright. And then we'd get so afraid. We hadn't planned on anything like this. But then the angel of the Lord looks at some men and he says, fear not. Why fear not? Look at the rest of what the angel of the Lord is going to say to them. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Wow. You see, the angel of the Lord had to take care of their fear first. And now when he's taking care of their fear, he's going to take and put joy in place of that fear. Amen and amen. God is real good at doing that, yet to this very day. He is very good at doing that very thing this very day yet. Amen. But you see, many fear when the name of God is even mentioned in a church service. Isn't that amazing? That's what you go to church for, is to hear something from God. Amen. And then some fear because God will, they think God's going to expect great things out of them. Well, you see, we get into church service, and so many times our mind can bring all these crazy things up and just make it so real. Amen. Amen. And some of these people think that God will expect great things out of them. Well, I'm glad they expect that, because sometimes that's exactly what God does. He expects great things out of us. Amen. But you see, some fear that God will never accept them because they've just sinned way too much. Amen. Some fear because they're afraid that they have sinned too much. They've just gotten way too dirty, and God's not going to have anything to do with them. Amen. I have dealt with those kind of people. 51 years of preaching, I have dealt with those kind of people. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. But you see, some fear because they think it's just going to cost them too much. How can serving God ever cost anybody too much? Look what Jesus went through just to be able to save your soul and my soul from the devil's hell. He went all the way through all of that bitterness, all that beatings. He looked like a piece of raw meat when he was hanging on that cross. He didn't even look like a human being anymore. But he went through all of that just so that he could fulfill the law, because you and I and nobody else could ever have fulfilled that law. Amen and amen and amen. You see, suddenly There was more angels with this angel. Look at verse number 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Amen. Whew. That would have been some kind of a place to be. Amen, I'm telling you. All of these angels are crying out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Wow. Verse number 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, listen to this now, the shepherds are going to prove that they're just like you and me. The shepherds are going to say one to another in verse number 15, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. What about that? And they came with haste. Woo. Verse number 16. They came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. You see, these shepherds are going to do something real for us. Listen to me now. These shepherds that you and I have never met are going to do something really, 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 really real. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a moment. You see, they were told that there was a Savior had been born and that it would bring joy to all the people. They were told this Savior was born in a manger. Verse number 12. They had been told such good news, which brings action. Verse 15, verse 16, I just read it. They decided to go and see what they had heard about. Ooh, hallelujah. What they found caused great rejoicing. It did. What they found caused great doubt. Oh, yes, it did. But you see what I'm saying? The real meaning of Christmas is unknown in this world of ours yet today. Amen and amen. Peace on earth, goodwill to men is not in the books of the world. Amen. Peace is talked about. Peace is talked about. Peace is talked about. Amen. That's as far as it goes. Peace is talked about. It's talked about. It's talked about. And that's as far as it goes. You see, it's talked about, yet it's unknown. Peace is experienced only when one comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. That's the very time that peace will finally show up in a life. Amen and amen. But you see, these shepherds told others about Christmas. Look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You see, these shepherds, they're, listen to me now, these shepherds are this world's first missionaries. Amen. They are our first missionaries.
They're the first ones to take the gospel message and spread it everywhere they went. Now, everybody found the joy. Instead, a good number of them, they just doubted. They said to themselves, how can this be? This can't be happening, not in my day and age. This can't be happening now. No, I don't think this is really a real thing. No. That's exactly what was going on. But you see, these shepherds are the first missionaries that we know anything about. And, you know, I'm glad that they were the missionaries that they were, because now some 2,000 years later, we've still got that same story. Amen. I said some 2,000 years later, we've still got that same story. These men were missionaries. They were not in it to get what they could out of it for themselves. They were in it to see what they could give to other people around them. That's exactly what they were doing. That's why they made it known. They knew there was going to be a bunch of people who were going to be just doubting it, all that kind of stuff. They knew that, but they made it known. You say, how in the world can you say that they made it known? Because we still got the record right here in front of us. I just read these verses of Scripture out of Luke chapter 2 to you. We still got that record. It's still right here in front of us. It's still right here. These shepherds did a great job being a missionary, because the story is right here in front of us yet, after some 2,000 years. Amen and amen and amen. You see what I'm saying? The shepherd told everybody all about this Christmas. No, they didn't tell anybody about Santa Claus. They didn't tell anybody about how Santa Claus was coming down the chimney. They didn't tell anybody about that kind of stuff, because that sort of stuff was unknown. Instead, they told everybody about a living Savior. They had went and found him in the manger. And since that time, we've been talking about Jesus and spreading the word around about Jesus ever since that time. Amen. You see, these shepherds left their flocks of sheep to go and see the shepherd, to see the Savior. What about that? Who was watching these sheep? Hello? Who was watching these sheep? They left their sheep behind. And they went and found the baby. And they went and found how it was that there was such joy to be had by seeing and knowing that Jesus had been born, the Savior of the world had been born. They knew it. They saw it themselves. And they told everybody wherever they went. What about those sheep they left? Who watched over them? I'll tell you who watched over them. God watched over them. You see, God has this habit about things like this. He will take care of things whenever we seek to serve him. Amen. God will take care of everything. He'll meet every need as long as we step out just to go and serve him. I know that for a fact. I know that for a fact. We had planted our first work. And we've been there for a while. But I knew the Lord was having us to move. I didn't know where we was going to move. I had talked with one of my counselors at the school where I was going, and he said, Brother Quick, there is a good school, there's a good college down in Kansas City, Missouri. I know that's a long ways away, but I know there's a good school there. That would be a good place for you to go. And so I was just on my face before God in my office. I said, Lord, I know that you're done with us here. I just don't know where it is you'd have us to go. And I was taught by an old preacher many years ago, right after I guess God called me to preach, about my prayer life. And the thing about my prayer life was this. I was to pray for everybody that I said I was going to pray for, just like I was praying for them. But when you get done praying for them, just hush up and stay put. And I said to this elderly preacher, I said, why do I have to do that, sir? He said, you have to do that because you had your say with God. Now it's time for God to have his say back with you. And so you just need to be hush up, stay put, be quiet, and God will speak to you. And you know, that's been 50 years ago. I'm still practicing that same thing today. I am still practicing that very same thing yet to this day. I am. My wife is still practicing that thing yet to this day. And yet to this day, it still works. Amen and amen. Yes, it still works. It still works. Amen. You see, sometimes we think we just have to get in a hurry to get things done. No. What you have to do to get things done with God is spend some time with the Lord, go in your prayer closet, shut the door so that there's nobody in there but you and the Lord, and pour your heart out to the Lord. When you get done pouring your heart out, just hush up and stay put, and God will direct you. Well, that morning in my office, when I had told the Lord, I knew he was done with us there. I didn't know where to go. And I shut my mouth. And right directly, Spirit of God says to me, go to Kansas City, Missouri. And I about come unglued, ladies and gentlemen. I come flying up. My hands went up, and I said, Kansas City, Missouri. I don't know anybody in Kansas City, Missouri. I can't go there. And then I had to get back down and repent and ask God to forgive me. And he did. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, when I get home, Miss Quist's going to want to know how things went today. And when I tell her that you told me that we need to go to Kansas City, Missouri, you're going to hear the same thing out of her, what you just heard from me. And the Lord did. I went home.
Yeah, man.
So my wife, I said, honey, God was really good this morning. She says, meaning what? And I says, he's told me where we're to move to. She said, well, where's that? I says, Kansas City, Missouri. And I was glad there was a little bit of space between her and me because she couldn't get a hold of me and you know, strangle me or anything like that. And she did the same thing. She said, we don't know anybody in Kansas City, Missouri. How can we go there? That's some 800 miles away. I said, I don't care how many miles it is. God said that's where we're going to go. And we went there and had one of the sweetest pastors of all of my ministry that fell in love with me, put me on the staff of his church and trained me. I mean, this gentleman trained me. He trained me, ladies and gentlemen. He trained me. And Parker Davies still comes out of me every time I preach yet to this day. Amen. He trained me that much. Well, it's just the fact of being obedient unto the Lord. We need to be obedient unto the Lord. Sometimes when it's time for us to go somewhere else, it might be another 800-mile move. I don't know. God knows all about that.
Tom, preach it now.
You need to make sure that your heart is right with God. Amen. And then when the Lord tells you what to do, you can't just fly off the handle and say, I can't do something like that. You just hush your mouth and say, Lord, with your help, I'm going to do that. It's going to take the Lord's help. Amen. And you see, these shepherds knew it was going to take the help of the Lord with them also. And so they went and they told everybody. Everybody they found, they told, there's a Savior that's been born over in the manger. If there's a Savior that's been born, there's going to be a lot of joy for a lot of people. Amen. I'm glad they told that story. Because they told that story some 2,000 years ago. We've still got that same story today to be able to tell people, and ladies and gentlemen. And we still got that same story today. You see, these shepherds did what every child of God is supposed to do. They just opened up and told everybody. They made known to all that they had met the Savior. You know, it's not so hard to do something like that. Amen. It's difficult sometimes, only because we make it difficult. Amen.
Amen. Come on.
We can still make the Savior known today, just like the shepherds did some 2,000 years ago. It's not my story. It's not me trying to get crowned or anything like that. It's Jesus, and it's his story, and he is the crown, the king that's been crowned. He is the king, and he's coming back one of these days. Amen. And we need to get some things straightened around. Amen. You get some things straightened around so that when he does come, we don't get left behind. Amen. Amen. They got quiet on that. Yeah, amen. Corner got quiet on that one. Amen. But you see, we learned the real meaning of Christmas today. The real meaning of Christmas, let it sink into your heart. Put it into practice in your own heart and life today. Let it be your duty to go and tell others about Jesus. Amen. It's my duty because God called me to preach. It's my duty because God saved me some 60-some-odd years ago. It's my duty because I'm a child of God. And if you're a child of God, it's your duty. Amen.
Yeah, man. Come on.
It's your duty. It's not just the preacher's duty. It's your duty, too. It's the duty of every deacon. It's the duty of every Sunday school teacher. It's the duty of everyone that walks in the church door and sits there and listens to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. It's your duty also to just go and tell somebody that you know about the Savior, and they can know about the Savior also.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? I'm saying to you,
go, go, go.
The real truth about Christmas, and let it sink in. You see, the angel of the Lord told these shepherds, first of all, in verse number 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Which shall be to all people. Do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Then you know about that joy that I'm talking about. Amen. If you've never trusted Christ to save your soul, you're hearing about that joy, but you've never experienced that joy. But you can experience that joy today. You can't experience that joy today because you're a sinner just like everyone else is a sinner. And when you go before God, You need to let him know that you're a sinner coming and you need some help and you need the help of the Lord Jesus to come by and save your soul. And he's going to do that very thing today. Amen. He'll do that very thing today. You see, we need to put into practice in our own life what these shepherds did. They didn't care if it was the mayor of the town. They didn't care if it was the town drunk. They didn't care nothing about that. They just went and told everybody that they had met the Savior and that they could meet him also. Amen. And what they told was the truth. And it's still the truth yet to this day. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, verse number 14 says. You see what I'm saying? The real meaning of Christmas is still right there before us yet to this day. It is still the fact of Jesus being born in the stable and being laid in the stable. It's just the fact of Jesus being born of the Virgin and coming and laying there and ending up being the Savior of the world. Yes, amen, amen. This little baby that laid in the manger has become the Savior of the world. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And he's going to be there anytime you've got a need. Go to him. He's going to be right there waiting on you to come and repent and let him know that you're sorry for your sin. He's right there waiting on you. I can say that because I know the times that he waited on me. And he did wait on me. I was glad that he waited on me. Amen. If he had not waited on me, I wouldn't be here talking to you and preaching to you today. He'd have just wiped me out. Amen. But he waited on me. He waited on me. And because he waited on me, and because I knew he was waiting on me, I fell on my face before him and repented. Been on my face before him and repented. Many, many, many a time. Not because I thought I was such a bad sinner and all that stuff. No, no, no. It only takes one little tiny sin to break the fellowship of a saint with his God. One little tiny sin. And when you know that you've sinned that one little tiny sin, fall on your face before him and repent as a sinner. And he'll be right there to fill you with that joy all over again. Amen and amen. Well, listen to me. This was a message that my dad preached. December the 25th, 1966. And it was preached with power then. It's still being preached with power yet to this day. Do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You can know him. You can know him. It takes you stopping, repenting before God, letting him know that you're a sinner, letting him know that you need Jesus to come and save your soul. That's what it takes. And if you do that today, he'll do that also today. Amen. Our Father, thank you for these moments as we've gathered here around your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that we know is all, every page from the start to finish. In the authorized AD 1611 King James Bible, every word in there is truth. We know that. We know that. You have proven that over and over and over and over again. And I'm glad that you have. I'm glad that you're proving that to somebody that's listening to me right now. You're proving it. You're proving it. There's some sinner that's crying out to you, and you're going to prove it again. You're going to prove it again. Amen and amen and amen. Lord, just be with us now, and we'll sure thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Ken, my mailing address is 1122, that means 1122, Church Street, and that's here in Waycross, Georgia. Waycross is spelled capital Waycross, just one word, Georgia. Our zip is 31501. And I'm glad that God has used me again this day to preach the Word of God. I said I'm glad that God has used me again this day to preach the Word of God. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Brother Ken, take over.
Amen. And I do want to say this, okay? Brother Quick, I was hoping to get my testimony in before you started preaching, but God had a different plan, and that's also good because you said some things in there that fits my testimony, that what he had in my testimony. So, I mean, God had his own way of working that out, so I wasn't disappointed. I mean, some very good stuff in there. So I'm still going to hold out and first give everybody a chance to give their comments, and I'll come back at the end of everybody and then give my testimony, but also my comments that kind of tie into the message. All right, so first off, we're going to start with Mrs. Quick.
I don't like to be first with anything, but anyway. That was a great message, and I enjoyed listening to it. His dad was a great preacher as well, and I always enjoyed listening to him when he was alive. And it was just a blessing to where he combined both of his dad and him. It was just amazing. And I'm sure his dad would be very proud to know that.
Amen.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Ruth, do we still have our 616 caller? Do they want to give any comments?
Yes, we have the first one, yes.
Okay. Go ahead, caller.
That was a good message.
All righty. All right, then, Ruthie, your turn.
I love the message, too, and a lot of amens came out, but a lot of people didn't hear them because they didn't have the mic on, but praise the Lord. Wonderful.
All right, now six, your turn.
Well, I definitely enjoyed the message. Every message that he preached, I enjoyed, but just how he wooed in the notes from his father and to keep them that long, definitely a blessing. But he always gives a great message, so I didn't expect nothing less.
All right. Well, Brother Quick, you were talking about the shepherds there quite a bit in the message and talking about them and basically them being like missionaries. Well, the interesting part was it tied right into my testimony, and I already kind of give that to you earlier today. And so I'm going to let the other folks in on that. Okay, several years ago, about back in like 2017 or earlier than that, me and a couple of friends here in Ashtabula we were getting a little sick and tired of how the sidewalk situation is, and there were some audible walk signals that they installed for those who are blind. We did not like how it was done because it wasn't done. We knew it was not done properly. And so we fought the city of Ashtabula. Now, this isn't the first time that I took on the city, and they say, don't fight City Hall, you never win. Well, the first time we took them on against them due to a sign ordinance because we wanted to put out Bible verse signs. Yes, we won. With God's help, we won. And I don't say I did it on my own. It was God's help. I'm not an attorney, okay? I never took any kind of schooling to be an attorney. But God used it, me anyway, to win. Why? Because I knew what was right. And so in this situation with the audible walk signals and the sidewalks, I knew, obvious, they didn't meet ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, codes for sidewalks. Because how is a wheelchair going to go down a sidewalk where the sidewalk is busted up and it's got places raised almost 6 inches or more? I mean, you don't need a wheelchair. You need a tank. So, I mean, basically, we fought the city again, and we had to wait quite a while because we had to go through the the U.S. Department of Justice, where the ADA is put out, as well as the Federal Highway Commission. They sent some investigators up here to investigate and send a report back to the ADA and the U.S. Department of Justice. Just less than a week, only a few days ago, we finally received the report of what they found. They found, get ready to shout, that the city of Ashtabula was, in fact, in non-compliance with the ADA. And that every issue we brought, we were absolutely correct on.
Yeah.
So the city has to take care of that. So, and on top of that, when I was down there in Waycross, where Brother Quick is now, he'll tell you, I did not look like no computer, as they call them in computer jargon. I didn't look like a computer nerd or computer geek. Back then, I had very limited skills about computers, okay? And my teacher will tell you, my elementary school teachers and high school teachers will tell you, when I had vision, I only could hunt and peck with one finger to type. Now, ask my wife. I've become a regular nerd, computer nerd. I could do all kinds of stuff on the computer and all kinds of stuff, and I'm typing with both hands with no problem, and I can't see a lick. With that said, I've been taking, and everybody talks about how good Brother Quick's messages are, which I love every one of them too. Well, as we plan to get ready to change platforms, because the platform where we're on, Blog Talk, is getting ready to go bye-bye, and we're getting ready to change over, we don't want to lose all of the good sermons Brother Quick has, plus all the other good shows we've had on the Six Eyes Radio Network. I've been working on getting all of those episodes downloaded from the very beginning of when Six Eyes started, all the way to the present, which was from 2011. Anybody wishing to get any part, any specific shows, or the whole thing if they wish, they can get in contact with me by the same email that they can contact and send any questions if they wish to get the, you know, information to Brother Quick quicker than using snail mail. The same email address, SEAL, you type it out, all these letters are lowercase and all together, the whole email address is together, no spaces, no dashes, no underlines, no periods, no nothing. It's Feel, F-E-E-L, like you do with your fingertips. Letter N is Nancy, then the word touch, T-O-U-C-H, like you do with your fingertips. And then King, like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, Feel and Touch King at gmail.com. Again, F-E-E-L, N is Nancy, T-O-U-C-H, K-I-N-G at gmail.com. Now, if it's something for Brother Quick, just in the subject line, you'd put question or comment for Brother Quick. If it's something for, if you're wishing to get the downloads from the shows, you just put in the subject line, downloads, or Six Eyes Radio Network. And I will, then in the thing there, you just tell us what you're looking for, or ask me, just by a request, what shows were on the Six Eyes Radio Network. I could send you a list, and we could give you all of that. And then we are using the downloads that we send out. Anybody wishing to donate toward the bus that we're trying to raise funds for to get the bus for the blind ministry, they get the downloads, and it's a nice gift for their donation. So once again, Feel and Touch King at gmail.com for the downloads. You just put downloads or Six Eyes Radio Network, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, just Six Eyes or Six Eyes Radio Network. If it's a question or comment for Brother Quick, just put that on your subject line, and then just write out your message for Brother Quick, and we'll print it off and mail it to him, get it to him, and then when he responds, we'll send it back to you in kind the same way. All right. So with that, Six, if you got any last comments, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Quick for final comments and closing prayer.
Well, once again, I just want to thank everybody around the world that supports the Six Eyes Radio Network. Continue to support us as we pack up. Everybody's mug is going with us, so we hope you continue on in the journey of the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just continue to bless us, keep us all healthy, keep us all strong. With that, I'm complete. Great message, Dr. Quick and First Lady Quick. Love you all.
All right, Brother Quick, it's all yours.
Oh, thank you, Brother Ken. We were given some cookies just the other afternoon, I guess. And my wife says, I said to her, is there any cookies around here? And I'd like to have a glass of milk, some cookies. She said, well, yeah, there's some cookies, but I don't know how to get into them. I said, well, just bring it over here. So I just got my penknife out, and I figured out how to get into the thing. And when I got into that thing, those cookies were they were scrumptious. The only thing wrong, they didn't have any frosting on them, and they needed to have some frosting. My wife said that. And so, but they were scrumptious anyhow. And so we went through one side of cookies, and so they're another side to go, but I don't think we're going to get them today.
No, I don't think so either.
See, there, my wife right there, she's saying, no, I don't think so either.
Cookies today.
Oh, so anyhow, I love my cookies and my milk. Amen. And I ran into a fella the other day. In fact, he goes to the church where I preach every Sunday morning. And he says, oh, yeah, he says, I got to have some cookies, baby. He says, you got to have a glass of milk for them. I said, you know, that's exactly the right way you got to go. And so it's not just me that has to have milk with the cookies. It's a whole lot of other fellas. But anyhow,
amen.
I'm just glad to be here.
Can't have cookies without the milk.
That's right. I'm just glad to be here with Six Eyes Radio Network. And I just wish that I was had a little more money in my pocket so that I could help Six Eyes Radio Network with some of the problems that they have. But the Lord knows all about that, and so I'll just keep right on doing whatever the Lord will let me do. Amen. And just keep right on preaching, and just keep right on praying, because I know that the Lord's going to use Bro Six in days to come, because he has already used Brother Six in days gone by. And so there's power in prayer, ladies and gentlemen. You just need to make sure that you're a clean vessel. And if you're a clean vessel and you pray, the answer will be coming. Amen. And that's a fact. God promised that, and that's a fact yet to this day. All right, well, let's pray. And I'm just glad for all that the Lord has accomplished through the preaching of the Word of God again today. And we'll just thank the Lord even now. Our Father, thank you for these moments together again this day. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of Six Eyes Radio Network. And Lord, it's just really good to be able to reach out. And we're glad that you're reaching out through us. And that's the thing right there that counts. We're just clean vessels. And we want to stay clean every day. And being a clean vessel is a vessel that you will use. And we know that for a fact, because we've seen that for the last 51 years. And so, Lord, just watch over us now and help us in all that we say. Help us in all that we do to be found as a servant of yours. And we'll sure thank you for that. Now, Lord, for everything that is accomplished through the preaching of the Word of God, I'm glad to be a part of that. And I know, I won't know anything that has taken place through the preaching of the Word of God here on Six Eyes Radio Network until we get on home. And then you'll just speak to me and let me know different things of what you have accomplished through my faithfulness here. And I'm glad for that. So, Lord, just be with us now in a very special way. Help each one of us to be mindful of your presence with us. Help each one of us to be mindful of the fact of remaining as a clean vessel before you, because a clean vessel is a vessel that you will use, and we're glad for that. So just watch over us now, and let you be Brother Ken and Brother Six, and for those other ones that are working on this, and just help us to be mindful of your presence every day, and we'll sure thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Good
Happy
night.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
God
to you all.
Have a good night.
Happy New Year to everyone.